It's Tuesday, June 9th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. The city of Fort Wayne was honored last week by the Nationwide Association of Mayors for its work to combat extreme heat in specific neighborhoods. Indiana Democrats have chosen Beau Bie as their Secretary of State nominee. And a new state law offers protection from summer utility shutoffs, but only for people already approved for energy assistance. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. The city of Fort Wayne was honored last week by the Nationwide Association of Mayors for its work to combat extreme heat in specific neighborhoods. Mayor Sharon Tucker was among 12 mayors awarded for their climate protection program. The heat mapping program was rolled out in 2024, partnering with federal agencies and using volunteers to create a detailed map of what areas of the city were the warmest. One of those areas was the city's East Central neighborhood, where temperatures were higher than average. Residents also deal with higher-than-average rates of poverty and poor air quality. The initiative engaged 40 volunteers to collect data and talk about the issue. Information collected by the project was then translated into community-supported actions, such as providing more shaded bus stops. Indiana Democrats have chosen Beau Bie as their Secretary of State nominee. The Indiana Capital Chronicle says Bie received 61% of delegate votes at Saturday's state convention. The son of former Governor and U.S. Senator Evan Bie and grandson of former U.S. Senator Birch Bie defeated veteran and business owner Blythe Potter. Bie said Hoosiers are tired of corruption and are ready for something different. He promised to open an independent audit of the Secretary of State's office. Republicans will choose from among four Secretary of State candidates during their convention on June 20th. Several prominent Republicans have withdrawn their support for incumbent Diego Morales. Former Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard is looking to run as an independent. Indiana already banned disconnecting electric utilities for low-income customers during winter months. Now, WFYI's Zach Castle reports a new state law offers protection from summer utility shutoffs, but only for some people.
The new law prohibits Indiana utilities from shutting off service to a resident if the National Weather Service forecasts a heat index of at least 95 degrees Fahrenheit within 48 hours. To qualify, the resident must also have already been approved for a federal heating energy assistance program for low-income residents. David Kaniski is a professor with Indiana University who researches utility disconnections.
They only are covering those who are able to successfully access the LIHEAP program, which means there are people at the same income level with the same energy assistance needs that are not going to be covered by the law.
Applications for the program are closed, but will reopen in the fall. I'm Zach Castle in Indianapolis.
The summer disconnection moratorium will cover people already approved for energy assistance. Lowriders rolled into the Indiana State Fairgrounds Saturday. The exhibition, hosted by Lowrider Magazine, is part of a multi-city summer tour. Indianapolis was also part of the tour last year. WFYI's Barb Anguiano reports the cars are the main attraction at the shows, but families are central to the lowrider culture.
Life's Too Low Indianapolis Car Club featured a few of their members lowriders at the show. Co-founder of the club, Gilbert Guerra Jr., started the club 40 years ago with his brother. Clubs like this one increase awareness of lowrider and car culture. The more members, the more resources and know-how to get car projects done. Guerra says the car club is like a family. Members also work on cars that can become cross-generational projects.
It's not so much the car. It's the person, the love for the art. And you can't, you got to be about it. You got to have the love for it, the passion for this. It's a lifestyle.
This year's show included concerts and hop contests where participants test how high their cars can hop, one of the highest reaching more than 6 feet. I'm Barb Anguiano in Indianapolis.
On May 19th, a Fort Wayne woman died after an altercation with store employees at a Tim Hortons shop. The now viral video of the fight has raised questions about why no one was arrested at the scene. WBOY's Rebecca Green sat down with Whitley County Prosecutor DJ Sigler to talk about what can cause a criminal investigation to unfold slowly.
I am joined in studio today by Whitley County Prosecutor DJ Sigler to talk a little bit about the nature of death investigations, what can complicate them and why they can take longer than people are often used to in this age of episodic television and podcasts. And social media can often skew the perception of what people are seeing. And so I wanted to talk to you today. Obviously, we're not going to ask you to comment specifically on this case because it's not your case. And if it was your case, you couldn't talk about it anyway. But I did want to talk to you a little bit about some terms and make sure that our listeners understand. One of the things that I think there's been some questions about is why people aren't arrested immediately and what it takes for police officers to arrest someone on scene, and then what the difference is between an on-scene arrest and criminal charges.
Yeah, anytime you have a death investigation, it behooves you as a prosecutor to be both thorough and then thorough again. I can tell you that as a young prosecutor, I had some very good teachers, one of whom happened to be my father. And he always taught me when we were working cases together that you could be fast or you could be right. And for a prosecutor, it behooves you to get it right. And when I say right, I mean the facts correct and have a full command of the facts. In order to do that, you have to spend an inordinate amount of time not only reviewing what you have in front of you, but going above and beyond to kind of discover what's going on around the case. And in my experience with prosecutors and as a prosecutor, anytime you have somebody that's had a serious injury, anytime that you've had a death, anytime that you've had a child, for example, that's been harmed grievously, then you're going to do everything that's necessary. You want to gather as much information as you can before you make a decision. And in order to make a good decision, you're balancing several things. You're balancing, on the one hand, perhaps somebody that's been injured or harmed. And on the other hand, you have an ethical obligation to consider, taking someone's liberty from them. So the things that are set up for television and are designed for television for us to consume and enjoy aren't very reflective of the seriousness, I think, sometimes of what we're confronted with in a death investigation. You have to be certain as you're proceeding forward.
When someone is arrested, does that necessarily mean that they're going to be charged? And if they are going to be charged, does that charge necessarily match the one that they might have been arrested on?
The short answer is no. Ultimately, prosecutors are the people who make decisions about charging. What a police officer chooses to do or not do on scene is generally reflective of what they're confronted with. And in my experience, police officers who are confronted with conflicting stories or confronted with cases that are complex or may require the involvement of an ME or a forensic pathologist or a sexual assault nurse examiner, anytime that officers are confronted with that level of complexity, they're typically going to do a full and thorough investigation, and they're going to pass that investigation to the prosecutor's office, who's responsible for the charging ultimately.
What you're describing is a process that takes time.
There's no substitution for having the time and the space to do your work to make sure that you're coming to a correct factual conclusion.
DJ, thank you so much for coming by the station today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was DJ Sigler, Whitley County Prosecutor.
An extended version of this interview can be found at WBOY.org/news. More news in a moment.
This music was composed by Ben Steinmetz, a student of Canterbury School. You heard it here on WBOI.
Here's what to know for today. The Chicago Bears are coming to Indiana. The team announced Friday that they would accept the state's offer to build a stadium in Hammond. Republican Senator Chris Garton announced last week that he will step down from his role as Senate Majority Floor Leader. And Governor Mike Braun has proposed regulatory changes for childcare, highlighting the proposed lessening of qualifications for childcare center directors and caregivers, with the goal of boosting affordability for families and providers. That's Who and What for Tuesday, June 9th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.